You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
All right. Welcome to Desperate. It's been a while,
yeah, been a
but this is a podcast where two unwed women take a nostalgic walk down Wisteria Lane of ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives.
Yep.
And I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
It's becoming more of a just 2000s nostalgia podcast at this point.
Yeah.
Because today, in our spare time in between seasons, we just finished season two, yeah. Desperate Housewives. Thank you for listening if you have listened up to this point. And we're taking a little break right now, and we decided instead of a season recap, because too much happened,
yeah,
we just wanted to watch, I don't know if he's my favorite character, Andrew's my favorite, but my second favorite character, John Roland, aka Jesse Metcalf, star in John Tucker Must Die.
Yeah, so this is like our little bonus, little gift to the universe. We're going to talk about John Tucker. Because we have brought this up in the past. We were pretty shook. I mean, I knew, obviously, because I've seen the show. But it is wild that Jesse Metcalf's most famous roles are both Johns. High school Johns.
Well, yeah. That's my theory. That has been my theory. Yeah. If you've listened to any of my episodes, I would usually refer to him as John Tucker.
Yeah.
Or John Roland, a.k.a. John Tucker.
Yeah. So it's been a long time coming. And I theorized, actually, that he wasn't really in season two much now. Because looking at the timeline, I think he was filming this movie. So yeah. It only made sense that we now follow up season two with Jesse Metcalf's second greatest performance.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we didn't see a lot of him in season two. I was really sad. I said it for, like, five episodes straight. I'm like, I'm just wondering when he's going to come back. Kind of miss him.
Yeah,
he was the baby daddy of the late unborn child of Gabby.
Possibly.
We don't know who the baby daddy was. You're right,
because Carlos was
fucking. Yeah. They were all fucking.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Wow.
But yeah, we decided to review John Tucker Must Die, and it still slaps.
Yeah, we literally just finished watching it.
Yes.
Like, literally just finished watching it. And it was a wild ride.
We took a five-minute break just to really soak it in.
I don't know if anyone has really analyzed the film the way we're about to just dive right into this. Because, yeah. Classic cinema, though. Classic cinema.
It's a classic film. Yeah. Like, it should be inducted into the Cinema Hall of Fame.
I mean, Julia called it a period piece, which couldn't be more on the nose.
It's a period piece.
It really is. Like, truly, truly, yeah, of its time. And it really does, like, they dress the characters the same way they dress, like, the characters of Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, because 2000s had specific fashion.
Yeah, very, very
and
specific.
And all fashion repeats, so I'm nervous for when this will come back.
Well, we actually already saw quite a few pieces we noted, like, oh shit, we're starting to see those again.
Well, the headscarf.
And then, like, those heeled flip-flop style shoes, which just look like the most uncomfortable thing on the planet.
They're ugly.
And they're truly disturbing.
No
one looks sexy in flip-flops, let alone heeled
flip-flopped versions. Heels.
Yeah,
like everybody looks uncomfy, but
huge turn off for me. But
well,
whatever.
If you aren't a John Tucker fan, which I just have been, we've been talking about this like everybody is, because I just can't fathom where you don't know this film, or you've never watched it, or you've never heard of it. I don't know how much it made in the theaters, or
I could tell you.
Yeah,
I got the stats for you.
Well, okay, we're gonna go into the stats and some reviews. Jordan looked up the reviews. I'll like break down this movie before we break it down in detail, but like, I mean, it came out in 2006. As you start the film, it says Betty Thomas film. I don't know what else she's done, but maybe Jordan will tell us that too, I guess.
Yeah,
this girl Kate moves to, I thought Seattle, confirmed Portland. She moves to Portland and she's moving there because her mom has a lot of failed relationships.
Yeah.
And they move around a lot. She feels invisible. She moves to this school. There's a guy there who's hot shit, John Tucker. He's dating three different girls. Those girls find out about each other, and Kate is the reason they find out. They make her into the perfect woman.
His perfect woman.
Yeah, to John Tucker's perfect woman to try and, well, first they try fucking with him. It doesn't work. And then they're like, we're going to make you his perfect woman so you can go break his heart.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. It's all of their scheming, all their planning, all their plotting, successes and fails around this. And at the end of the day, we learn some good lessons about truth, telling the truth, how to treat others, protect your heart. Just John Tucker really became an inspiration to us at the end. But that's basically the gist of the film. It's a revenge film, we said.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on there.
Yeah. So it is a revenge film, but we also kind of felt like a lot of the lessons were all over the place at the end of the movie. The end of the movie really tries to shoehorn like 6 different endings.
So we felt like there were several different storylines that didn't necessarily collide.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some different lessons, which I think is good.
Yes.
But no, it wasn't cohesive. It wasn't like some films you walk away from and you're like, I really get that. I really get what they were trying to say. This one was just like, man, being a teenager is fucked up, like, and weird.
Yeah, and like, maybe that's okay, though.
That's okay. You know that's what? Just
teenagers,
how it is.
Teenagers kind of are fucked up and weird, so sure.
I'll take it back to a comment you had when we were talking about John Roland in Desperate Housewives. When we first see him, he's supposed to be a 16-year-old high school boy. Mm-hmm. Jesse Metcalf played, I want to say he was probably 23 in these roles, 24. He's playing these 16-year-olds. And you're like, no high schooler looks like that. They look like fucking losers.
Yeah.
They don't look like this.
Oh, high school boys are really gross. Like, it's very rare that, like, a high school boy is not disgusting.
Yes. So everybody in this film, I can say off the top, looks fucking old. There's a point I'm going to call out where an old broad, old broad gives John, it's not like an old broad, like, but she looks old.
She's a broad for sure.
She's older than I am currently.
Yes. No, she's like a 35-year-old, a hot 35, but 35.
Botox for sure.
Oh my God. Her skin was like stretched to the max. It was I felt for her. She didn't look bad, but it was just like very clearly someone trying to look younger.
Yeah, it was bad. So we had Brittany Snow, this girl named Arielle Kibble, Ashanti, and Sophia Bush. So yeah. We really had a dream team on set, along with Jesse Metcalf, who is no longer relevant in life.
Yeah. I mean, we did look them all up after this movie, and I have to say they all, at least none of them had like breakdowns. They're all like relatively successful. They're all like still hot. So like 2 thumbs up.
Yes. Okay.
Could be They're we could have okay. an Amanda Bynes situation on our hand, and we don't. So.
I know. I will say rough. That. But that's the background of this film, mm-hmm. and we hope you're on board. You can watch it on Amazon if you have a Starz subscription or you want to pay like $3.99 or whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't, and I highly recommend it if you haven't. Yeah. I recommend it if you have. It just takes some time and like rewatch it.
It's a great time capsule.
It's a feel good.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a feel good.
Absolutely. You're going to laugh and you're going to walk away from this movie. You're going to like end the movie and probably in your home and you're going to be like, wow, that was a really good time. Thank you for this recommendation. Yeah. So.
I think we can talk about some of the reviews before we talk about what it meant to us personally.
I will say I've never talked to someone and been like, John Tucker Must Die, right? And then they go, oh, that movie sucks. They've either not seen it or they have really fond memories watching this movie.
Yeah.
It's only positive.
But online, they were like,
yeah, it got ripped to shreds. So I'm looking at, I decided to kind of look at the reviews while we were talking. And it has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
27%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, I'm going to tell you, I told you this already. My boyfriend and I watched the movie Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes or something. It's Kimmy. It's on HBO Max. And she has a blue. He bought it for $20, which I love because it was the worst movie we've ever seen.
$20.
So she has a blue wig. It's called Kimmy. And it has Zoe Kravitz in it. And the trailer looked cool. It was the worst movie I have ever. Like, we unequivocally, like, walked away from it being like, Like 10, 20 minutes in, we're like, is this what the fuck is going on in this movie?
Yeah.
And we'd already spent the money on it, so we were going to finish it. We have watched a lot of bad movies together on accident, but this took the cake. It had 91% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Me and Julia have actually talked about this a lot. Like, we think Zoe Kravitz is a beautiful, hot woman. Don't get us wrong. But she's not a very good actress.
Horrible. I didn't believe a minute.
We're
going to
lose so many followers for saying that.
I don't care.
I know. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry.
She sucks. Everybody needs to know. I need everybody to know. And then there was a review. There was one or two reviews on Rotten Tomatoes that were like, one of them said, I made an account specifically to write a comment here and say that this was the worst movie I ever watched. But then there was a bunch of positive reviews. I don't know, man. 27%. Sorry, I just had to say because I'm like, that blows my mind. 27?
I know. It's really low. And you know what? I think it's an easy movie to write a bad review about. Because it's made for teenagers, okay?
Yeah.
So because it's made for teenagers, of course it's going to have maybe themes or scenes that adults are going to find very, very boring or stupid. But, like, teens are going to think are fucking hilarious and goofy. So I don't know. But here are some of the highlights of the reviews that I read. So we have one reviewer saying that this smartly written dialogue and the infectious charm of the cast, particularly Snow and Metcalf, add to a winning combination.
Okay.
So that was from...
Very formal.
That was from TV Guide.
I wouldn't say it was a smart script.
No, the script is the worst part.
And I'll call that out too. There was a part that Jordan and I were like, that didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. No, the dialogue's pretty rough. I will say, though, that I think the performances are decent, like, for what it is.
Yeah, they're like a 6 out of 10.
The New York Times wrote that the film is unforgivably clueless about teen culture. So we had the flip side.
Well, we don't live in New York.
And then said that Metcalf's performance was unconvincing. So we got fewer expressions than a Botox infomercial, apparently, is the comparison we got there. Yeah.
Whoa.
Ripped him up. Then we got another reviewer calling it slick, stupid, and slightly sleazy. You know what, though? I kind of agree with that, but in a good way.
I think those are positive in a lot of ways.
I read that review and I think I would like to watch that movie.
Slick, stupid, and slightly sleazy.
Yes. I love it.
Put it on my tombstone.
I know. Put it on my tombstone. I'm going to put that in my, like, email, like, signature.
Yeah, your signature. This is what I stand for. Get it tattooed.
Oh my god, tramp stamp.
This is what
slick.
I stand for.
Oh my god.
I love
god.
A tramp stamp because I just think of, like, girls getting done from behind and, like, a dude just looking at it. Like,
you know, are tramp stamps hot?
I think in 1998.
Do you think, like, anyone could confidently today go and get one and rock it? And we'd be like, I think that kind of works.
Zoe Kravitz. So bring it full circle. She can suck at everything else, but she could confidently rock a tramp stamp.
That's true. Okay. So. I feel like anyone that can rock low-rise jeans has a legal right to have a tramp stamp and get away with it.
Yeah.
That's, I've decided right
but
now.
But I definitely have some thoughts, like, when I see someone with one.
And I want to know, like, are guys, like, is that a thing? Like, when guys are fucking a girl with a tramp stamp, they're like, yes.
I don't think they're like, yes, but I don't think of them being turned on by it. I just think it's funny that whatever this chick decided to put on her back, this guy probably might look at.
God,
he's
not might. Well, absolutely look
at. I mean, I don't know how the positioning's going for them, but, like, I'm just saying, if you're doing it standing up, he can, like, see your tramp stamp, likely.
That's like, true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Know, so.
Whatever.
Either way, so slick, stupid, and slightly sleazy.
Yeah. He praised Jenny McCarthy in a supporting role, saying she is notably better than the rest of the cast. Now, quick note, she's in maybe 4 scenes.
She had like 5 lines.
Yeah.
And she got nominated for a Razzie for this.
Yes. So this is what I mean when I say it's all over the map with these reviews. And then lastly, the last like little thing I'll say is this movie may be able to bamboozle a few female fans into multiplexes, but it's hard to imagine any of them labeling this as better than Forgettable. That I love because this movie is not forgettable, if anything.
Yeah.
Everyone, seriously, anyone from like age 25 to like 33 has at least one fond memory watching this movie and will be like, yeah, I love that film. And they'll call it a film.
Because it is a film.
It's a film. I bet it was shot on film.
I bet it was. Like, Quentin Tarantino could show it in his theater.
Yes. Oh, my God. We should write to New Beverly Cinema and ask them if they'll put it in.
I'd be down for them to do a teen month.
Yeah.
Because every month they have a theme, and it's, like, if they could have, like, a teen film.
Oh, my God. That would be so
where they
dope.
Show, like, 10 Things I Hate About You and, like, all that stuff.
All over. They could do, like, Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
They could do all kinds of fun movies.
I'd love that.
That would be dope. But we got okay, if anybody at the New Beverly Cinema ever listens to our podcast.
To our very insightful
Quentin Tarantino,
podcast.
If you're out there.
Yeah. I mean, some personal reviews, I guess. Yeah, before we talk about what it means to us.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this earlier in the year at my friend's house, and her boyfriend, who's in his 30s, said it was one of his favorite films or movies. I don't know if he called it a film. I don't recall.
I've decided he did.
He's like, I've watched this like so many times. and like as we put it on, and I found that surprising at the time because me and my friend went to high school together. Like, I clearly knew that she would know this movie. Mm-hmm. We both were like, oh, John Tucker.
Yeah.
And then my boyfriend has said that before today.
And my boyfriend was quoting it to me when I told him that we were going to watch it.
Yeah, before I even told him, like, we had somehow talked about it once, the movie John Tucker Must Die, and I remember him being like, oh, I watched this so many times, or like, I love, he said top 10 favorite films.
Do you think this is one of the few movies that speaks to both men and women?
I do surprisingly think this movie speaks to men and women, which I found hard to believe because this whole time I was watching, I was like, this is an extremely female-led movie, and that usually doesn't, for guys, they're just not, like, into that usually.
But I think, and Julia and I will get to this when we kind of deep dive into our thoughts throughout the film, but, you know, John Tucker as a character isn't, they didn't make him, like, despicable enough in a way. Like, they made him.
I mean, I kind of liked him.
I know, we kind of, I kind of rooted for him.
Do we have a crush on John Tucker now?
I started this film being like, ugh, no. But now I'm like,
you even said that. Yeah. You were like, I mean, if he was at my high school, I wouldn't really like him. And I was like, I don't know. I could see myself being, like, flustered that he was into me.
I mean, I think I would just be flustered because anybody being into me is flustered. Like, and when I was in high school especially, like, what? But, like, I don't know. I just, they did a good job kind of keeping the balance, though. They didn't make anyone too mean. They didn't really make anyone, like, everyone's motives kind of made sense. Like, John's just, like, a very, like, rich kid, like, with a lot of privilege who doesn't even realize it. So yeah. I almost feel like he's not even, like, trying to be an asshole about it.
No.
So I don't know. Like, this movie did a good job of, like, I feel like anybody can watch it and be, like, you know, because it has a
men,
lot of dude moments.
Women, children. Yeah. Pets.
Yeah, why? Charlie, my dog loved it. So.
Yeah, like, the animals were here. I think, yeah, my boyfriend said it's top 10 for him. My friend's boyfriend said I've watched this so many times, one of my favorites. And I personally, I've watched this a lot of times.
Me too.
I could, like, nothing was, well, there was one scene that came up. There were one or two where I was like, oh, I forgot about this. But I've watched it this year. But it's like, none of this is like something I forgot over time. It's no. The same level as 10 Things I Hate About You, which is one of my favorite films. Mm-hmm. But it's that level where I could never forget, like, what happens in this movie or, like, what it's about. Like,
I think we just, like, you see it at a very formative time, you know? And then it, like, sticks out.
I thought it was romantic. I did think. Okay. I can't believe we just said that about this movie. When I was, like, 13 and watching this, I thought this was, like, what he was doing was romantic when he took her out on the boat. And
oh my,
like,
God, we had very different. So when I was like 13 and watching this movie, I was like so invested in her little flirtations with the other brother.
Oh, that too. No, I was
like,
too.
I thought those while the dialogue sucks. I was like, their moments were so cute when I was
I was invested in that, but I remember thinking, I remember specifically the boat scene because I was like, that's so crazy, like taking her on the boat.
Yeah.
And then when he gives her the watch, I was like, oh my God, like. That's
love.
So,
that's true.
I was
love.
Like so naive. And yeah, I was like, I remember thinking those things though. Like it really, and I was like, wow, how horrible she feels like not seeing. Like I remember like resonating with her as like a angsty 13-year-old being like.
I think
like,
there is a character for everyone to relate to.
Yeah. And then way. I was like, oh my God, like that girl is like she's sleeping with guys, like Sophia Bush's character.
How dare she have sex?
Yeah. But then I also did like how driven that Ariel Kibble, and I'll get to their names, their character
names.
They
all names. Got old names.
Ashanti, I didn't really identify with at all because she was like the head cheerleader and like way too sassy. But the other girls I did resonate with in different ways.
Yeah.
And I did think it was romantic when I first saw it. Like, because I was just, like, a little romantic myself when I was 13. And I was like, oh, my. Because, guys, like, I was just, first of all, we've talked about ourselves when we were children.
Mm-hmm.
We both hit puberty really early. And we were, like, way taller than every single guy in our class.
We're still, okay, something. Still and we tall. Bring this up all the time. But, like, we're still considered tall. At work all the time, people are like, you're tall. And I'm like, well, my best friend's taller than me. So.
I know people are like, are you like 5'10? And I'm like, I'm literally 5'7. You guys can relax. Everybody can relax. Maybe 5'8 on a good day.
Yeah, I waver between 5'6¾ and 5'7.
But I was like such a, like, I was way taller. I was hairy as fuck. I've talked about this.
Yeah.
I was hairy.
I sometimes still feel like a little.
Shave every part of my body. Everybody knows this. I talk about it. I shave every part of my fucking body.
I won't. Even though I have hairy arms, I won't shave my arms. I don't know why. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I was hairy. I was tall. I was not confident for sure. 13.
Oh my God. I still have bad posture because of being tall as a young person.
Yeah.
Because you slide, like, you owe, like, especially because boys, when before they hit puberty, like, look like children. So, like, you're trying to kind of shrink
And then
yourself.
I was like, yeah, I was bigger. I have a big butt now. I had a big, I've always had a big butt. But all the guys in your grade are, like, skinny as fuck. And, like, nobody, they're mean. Like, everybody's mean. So, this movie, I was like, oh, my God. Like, for, it was, like, aspirational in a way.
Yeah. No. And it almost is, like, teaches you how to be a hot girl. The way the movie, like, the way they transform
The way that she, like, plays hard to get.
Yeah. This movie was, like, it almost taught me really toxic behaviors, actually. But then it kind of circles back at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that how, you, I mean, yeah, what did it mean to you? Is that how you felt? I guess you just said you're like, for me, I didn't, I liked Penn Bagley.
Yeah. So I guess I was like a big nerd. So like for me, I related to her, the main girl, obviously. I think all teen girls at some point feel invisible. And so I think we can all relate to
that. Yeah. I was like, how sad. Yeah. I feel that.
But, and then I just felt like I resonated with her. And then like the whole movie is almost like a little bit, it's like a weird flip on like the Cinderella story. And then, but the like twist, I guess, is that the guy that she should be with has been into her the whole fucking time and was like her friend. And so like, I don't know. I think I thought the Penn Badgley character was way cuter to begin with when I was younger.
He is way hotter. Yeah. We kept saying that where like, they're trying to convince us some of these people aren't hot, but like everybody's hot here.
Yeah. And so, but I will tell you, I remember like, you know, kind of early in the movie when she has like that crunchy looking hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally did my hair after like that because of her. Like because of this
you,
movie.
Wait, you straighten your hair, right?
What do you mean?
Right now. Like, do you naturally have wavy hair? I don't remember.
No. Naturally, I have very curly hair.
Okay.
You probably haven't even seen
it. Actually can't think of a time that I've... Oh, wait. I have once or twice. Okay. Now that I think
it's about
it.
It's very rare. One time when we recorded, I had it like
I do remember
big.
Now. But yeah, I could see you having crunchy hair like her then.
Yeah, I did the mousse with the crunchy hair. Ugh. Dangerous times, guys.
I don't remember. I think I just tried to have attitude after this movie. Okay, one thing, and it's like the smallest detail, and this can probably get us started into talking about the movie more. Yeah. But like... At the beginning, when she's giving her recap. So at the beginning of the movie, she gives a little recap of her life. She's like, I'm Kate, and I feel invisible and anonymous. Mm-hmm. And she fucks up the spelling bee. Can't spell anonymous. She's also stupid because she can't spell anonymous.
Even though the person right after her gets the word loser.
Yeah, way easier. There's two syllables. Oh, but she says all that. And there's a part of the film. Like, so she's like talking about her mom dating all these guys. She calls them Skip. They're all wearing the same robe, which I think is gross. She gives these guys the same robe. But she's, like, looking at one of the guys opening the fridge. And he's like, I'm your new father. And she, like, crunches. She puts, like, a puff of cereal in her mouth. And it's the crunchiest sound I've ever heard in a movie
ever.
It's
like gravel. Yeah. It's like they drove over gravel.
I just have to say, that's one thing I've always remembered about this film. I was like, that was, like, the crunchiest. She's like...
Yeah.
And the look on her face was, like, so spiteful. But
yeah. Well, for me, and you actually pointed out when we were watching it, when the mom is, like, eating just, like, frosting.
She's
like
just eating fucking frosting.
Like, gross frosting,
the
too.
Gross frosting, like...
That always stuck out to me because I'm like, she gets dumped a lot. How is she so thin?
Like, Kroger brand, like, definitely some hydrogenated oil in there.
Well, she gets dumped a lot, so if she's doing that all the time...
Yeah, so at the beginning, I guess we'll just go into that now. So that's the gist. She's, like, giving the background. She feels invisible, feels like a loser, like... Her mom gets broken, and she feels that way because they're moving around all the time, because her mom gets broken up all the time.
I mean, she can't be learning good self-esteem at this point. She has no relationships outside of her mom.
Yeah.
And her mom is bringing around, like, okay, not slut-shaming her mom, but I don't think it's super healthy to bring around tons of dudes that all are telling your daughter, like, I'm going to be your new dad, and then just skip
out. Yeah, those guys are weird for saying that even. Just be less invested if you're not going to be invested, but... Yeah, that's what's going on in her life. And so they move around. I don't know how they afford that. And her mom eats frosting every time she gets dumped, which seems to be quite a lot.
We see a montage like of like five dudes. And yeah. She looks the same. So I don't know.
Yeah. And her mom is supposed to be a MILF. Like her mom is supposed to be really hot. Mm-hmm. She's played by Jenny McCarthy, who is hot, but
she has great boobs.
It's not like the hottest woman I've ever seen.
No, it's like that very much like Pam Anderson look, like with the chunky, like jelly, like chunky blonde voluminous hair kind of look, and then like super low rise everything. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's the gist of why they end up in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We don't know that until we read the Wikipedia.
And they all have Washington license plates. So,
yeah, they did a terrible job. Like, the set design was shit. Yeah. So. But it's, and we get the idea, they hit home that her mom's really hot because some neighbor guy who looks like a loser comes over and is supposed to be cute. Amazon titled him as cute neighbor, I think. But he's like, I made some cookies. Like, heard you just moved to town. And Brittany Snow, aka Kate, is like, oh, thanks so much. I'm Kate. And then he's like, holy jamalama or something. And there's like, Kate's mom comes up and he literally walks, acts like Kate doesn't exist, walks past her, ignores her. And is like, he's like, I made these cookies. Be careful. You're hot. No, they're hot. That's what he says to her mom.
That's it.
And I remember that from memory, too. That's not even in my notes. That's the gist. We get that her mom is hot. Now we're in Portland, and this is where we go to a basketball game.
Where we meet John Tucker, and how they introduce him is him playing basketball. And look, okay, this is almost like a criticism on the filmmaking techniques used. If you're going to do a slow motion shot, use a higher frame rate. Like, it was so strange.
Everything was blurry.
Yes, every time they did slow motion, it was blurry. So I was like, that to me is very strange in a mainstream film to not use, like, better technology. I don't know. I was, like, really thrown by that. But, and the reason why it's obvious is because when they introduce him, they freeze frame. And every time they freeze frame on John Tucker, you can't even see his face because it's so blurry.
Maybe they have a stunt double or something.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to, okay, because they freeze frame, and the freeze frames we're talking about are of him dunking.
Yeah.
Like, which this boy doesn't dunk.
I don't know how many high school boys. I don't know how many high school boys are out there dunking like that. Like, is that normal? Maybe not at my high school.
I don't watch high school basketball. I mean, even in the NBA, they're not, like, dunking that hard all the time.
I know. I feel like, this isn't Space Jam. Like, what are we doing?
The crossover we didn't know we needed. It's a Space Jam.
So John Tucker Must Die is, like, you take Desperate Housewives meets Space Jam.
But it's true. So yeah, there's like bad screen grabs. He's dunking all the time, like,
constantly.
When he's not fucking with girls' hearts, he's just dunking.
Yeah.
And he's like chest bumping. There were a lot of chest bumps that happened, and like.
And so we get like these scenes, and then they kind of cut. We don't formally like meet all these women because we later get more of their backstory, but it kind of introduces us to all the ladies he's seeing.
Yeah, we get the slutty vegan because she's like, kill the coyotes or whatever their other team is.
Yeah,
she's not actually.
And then we see like Ashanti cheerleading.
Yeah,
and then we see what's her face, the blonde with like,
honestly don't know her character
AV club
name. Yeah, she's like a news reporter for the school. She does everything. She's the overachiever.
Yeah,
and she's reporting, and she has a moment where she interviews John because she's mm-hmm. like, wow, we beat the Bobcats or whatever. And he's like, I'm Tuck, T-Man, T-Dog. Some people call me T-Money. And I'm like, that's
he's like, El Capitan.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my whatever. God.
So we meet them all briefly there.
Yeah. So that's kind of like all
that's
we really
get.
That's kind
of it. Because then we cut to Brittany Snow at her job, which she got really fast at this nice restaurant as a server.
Like
She's a server.
Yeah.
And she is like, oh shit, John Tucker's there. And she goes to like take his order. She's like, of course he'd be out dining with this girl who's an overachiever.
And she like gets so flustered, it's wild.
Oh, but yeah, the first interaction, she's like, hey, like, what can I get you? And she's super awkward, and then she curtsies, and that sticks in my head too.
But she does call it out. The movie is self-aware enough to at least be like, okay. But in this scene, we kind of get a montage. Like, first, it's just him on a date with Carrie, the blonde girl.
Oh, Carrie. Okay.
And, like, she speaks French. She's got her perfect little bob cut.
She does, like, charity work and stuff.
Yeah. She announces she's going to write a children's book.
Yeah. Just bold. Like, you would hate her in real life. Like, anyway.
High strung. And then the next day, he's back. This time with Ashanti, who plays a girl named
It was, like, the
Heather.
Next day. I thought it was all in one night. I guess. Oh, no. I don't know for sure.
I think they were, like, each a different
day. It's different days. Yeah. He couldn't eat three courses like that.
And like, what, one girl goes at 4 p.m., one goes at 6, and one goes at 8.
He's, like, pushing her out the door.
He's like, the slut goes at 8 p.m.
Can I have the check? Yeah, 8. He finishes off the night. Yeah. With her. Yeah, then it's Ashanti.
Who plays Heather.
Yeah, she's Heather. Dumb.
She's, like, super into his macho man vibe.
Yeah, he orders for her, and she's like, that's so hot.
Yeah.
She's, like, wet for it.
She's super into that.
And I was, and I said she would be into that.
Yeah.
We get that. So.
And then Sophia Bush plays Beth.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to call Carrie Beth. I knew there was a Beth in there, but yeah. Beth.
And she's, so there's a weird, weird ongoing theme in the movie where I guess if you're a hippie, you're a slut.
Hippie slut. They called her a hippie slut at one point. They called her a slutty vegan activist.
Yeah.
Vegan teen activist is code for easy. And we were like, what?
I'm like, is that a thing? Are we just out of the loop on this?
I've been a vegetarian since I was 12.
So I don't think you're a hippie slut.
I don't think I was a hippie slut.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe we're just, maybe because we're not activists.
I don't know.
We just don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm not an activist for much of anything. Mm-hmm. Now that we know the girls, I guess I never asked you, who's your favorite?
I think Sophia Bush is the funniest.
Okay.
Because she really did lean into, like, her jokes, and I had to give it to her.
Okay.
Because, like, she's Beth. Heather, like you said, we didn't really identify with Ashanti's character.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Carrie, the blonde one, I liked her character, but she was more the straight man. So, like, I just felt like Sophia Bush really fucking had a good time. You could tell she was having fun.
Yeah.
And I liked her. So she was probably my favorite part of the movie. And I think she's the hottest.
Mandy Moore is my favorite. That's what my boyfriend said. I said, what do you like about John Tucker Must Die? And he's Mandy Moore.
Just without skipping a beat.
It was instinctual. Yeah.
Mandy Moore's beautiful, great, iconic teen actress at the time, but sorry, boy.
She's not in the movie. Oh, no, Sophia Bush. So I would have to say Sophia Bush is my favorite as well. Closely followed by Ariel Keeble. I don't know how I'm saying your name wrong, but Carrie.
Yeah.
I did like Carrie because I can be a little bit type A sometimes. Back in the day, when I was in school, I was a little bit more.
Me too.
So I was like, yeah. Oh, we kind of get her. But
I would say, like, personality-wise, in a way, I'm kind of, like, I feel like I fall into both of those two. And then the main girl a little bit. But yeah. Not Ashanti's character.
Well,
I just was
Brittany
never the
Snow. You can't beat that.
Yeah, I mean,
like, she's my fave, but she, like, wasn't in the running. Yeah. Okay, cool. So we meet the girls there. And Kate is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Kate's like, we don't do this in Arkansas. Like, I don't. She's like, what's this guy dates three girls? And I'm like, welcome to
LA. The bougie West Coast.
Yes, welcome to the West Coast. So she's like, what's going on? And there's this other server there who is credited as crying waitress. And she does the most exposition of the entire film.
She's
like,
the work here.
Yeah, she just says it in one paragraph. She's like, well, so John dates all these three girls, but they're from completely different friend groups, so he knows that they'll never talk. And then it's basketball season, so he tells them that his dad won't let him date during basketball season, and they have to keep it a super secret, so nobody ever finds out. And we're like, whoa, that's pretty smart for him.
Yeah.
And then Brittany Snow's like, how do you know all that? And I didn't really catch her answer, but she starts crying. So she's upset about it. And then we are transitioned along with an All-American Rejects song.
Oh, yeah. And you can't go wrong. I actually, no joke, the other day was listening to All-American Rejects on the way to work.
Yeah, sometimes it happens too.
I will never be able to not sing every single lyric to Move Along or Dirty Little Secret.
Yeah, Dirty Little Secret. And then there was a song called Swing Swing.
Was that All-American Rejects?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was before their Move Along album.
Okay.
That was when they hit, like, radio success. But Swing Swing.
Do you remember Gives You Hell? Like, that was, like, their next album.
That was, like, where I was, like.
That's kind of, like, sellout to me. They sounded, like, more poppy there. Like, Dirty Little Secret's a genuinely
good
song.
Dirty Little Secret is good.
Yeah, like, it's a good little punk.
Gives You Hell. Punk. I'm, like, remembering that song right now, and I'm just like, I fucking can't. Gives You Hell. I hope it gives you. Like.
Oh, my God.
That's the song that, like, a 16-year-old boy writes about, like, his ex-girlfriend.
And it doesn't flow like Dirty Little Secret does.
No, not at all.
And even Move Along has that amazing, like, drum line kind of at the beginning.
Yeah,
that, like,
Dirty Little Secret, yeah, at least a little sexy.
Oh, yeah.
But
totally.
Yeah, it's like, okay, John Tucker's, like, walking through the school. He's the man, like, everybody. I've never seen anybody greeted like this. Not even at their wedding. Everybody's like, whoa, John Tucker.
Yeah.
He's, like, touching girls' butts. Like.
And if you were impressed by that, when we get to the way this movie ends... Oh, my God.
Okay, so, and then, like, Carrie just feeds him frosting from a cupcake, and I'm like, how did no, not a single person see that?
Yeah.
And then he just walks away. But, yeah, he's just, we're getting it. He's popular. And then Brittany Snow's narrating, and she says, John couldn't, like, comprehend, like, what was about to happen on, they call it Black Tuesday, which we never get back to. It's just a day that he.
It's just a day.
It's just a Tuesday that he looks over at the gym coach, who is out of shape, probably had cardiac arrest anyway. She already had cardiac problems.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Looks over at her, and she, like, passes out.
And she, like, literally passes out from his hotness.
Because she's too, yeah, she slips on her own puddle of wetness. She's like, that's, I'm so hot. He's so hot. So
yeah, that's a very, like, weird, risque joke to put in the movie.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the movie is not that, like, I don't know, that almost feels, like, aggressively, like, when the, okay, that reviewer that called it sleazy, I'm like, maybe that joke's sleazy, but.
Maybe.
But, like, the rest of the movie didn't really have jokes on that, like, crude humor on that level.
Yeah, and this wasn't even the old broad I was talking about earlier. This is a different old lady, but.
Yeah, legitimate old lady.
She passes out, all the first period gym is put together, and this is where the girls rumble. We see a ratchet fight because they all discover that. They're all dating John Tucker because Carrie, like, yells across the volleyball court that they did the worst sound clip they could have chosen. She's like, I'm dating John Tucker. And then Ashanti hears, and then they get in a fight.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with Ashanti just, like, straight hitting Carrie in the head
with a volleyball, like, yeah, five times. And then she's like, John Tucker's my man. They have, like, a brawl.
A straight up, like, annoyingly sexist fight,
like,
for a
second. Like a club brawl. Yeah, yeah, they're like, no, he's mine. No, he's mine. And I'm like, this is annoying.
Yeah, but it's kind of a red herring, though, because the movie immediately, like, backtracks on that behavior.
Yeah, and all the girls are wearing the worst outfits. Athletic gear has never looked so bad.
Cotton capri pants. Like, cotton capri yoga pants.
Not even workout shorts. This chick was wearing shorts with, like, back pockets with, like, flaps on them.
Like cargo mini shorts.
Yeah, and we had a lot of cuts to, like, these goth girls. They were really representing, like, all stereotypes of
high
school.
Twice in this movie, it does just cut to the goth people in the room just sitting there.
One of the girls has a line. She's, like, she has a line. She says, my name is Lucretia.
Which, like, doesn't sound like a white girl name to me.
No, because her, they were like, Angie, Jessica, like, Sophia over there. And the girl's like, my name is Lucretia. Like, she renamed herself because she's goth.
Okay.
I'm just saying. That was a lot. I'm just pointing that out. These are some deep cuts from the movie.
Yeah. You guys.
I can't help it. This is how my brain works. After that, they all get detention for this because it was ratchet. It was really ratchet.
Yeah.
And then this is where we meet Penn Bagley, aka Tommy Tucker. He is John's brother.
Oh God, why'd they give him that? I know. Why, like, just call him Tom.
And you may know Penn Bagley from the hit show You.
Yeah, and from Gossip Girl.
And you might know him as, what's his name in Gossip Girl? Dan.
I've actually never seen that show.
Whoa.
But I know who he is.
That was another 2000s hit for me. So
Penn, it's kind of wild to me that Penn Badgley plays, like, a side dude character when he was clearly the most famous person in the movie.
Because
Gossip Girl was on.
This was before Gossip Girl.
I don't think.
Because he had long hair in this and in Gossip Girl. I mean, they could have put a wig on him, but he had short hair at Gossip Girl. This was a couple years.
Oh, no, you're right. It was right before Gossip Girl. Like, right before. You're right.
Then he got cast. He's from Washington, like, near me somewhere.
Okay, so this movie, I guess, kicked off his career. It's crazy that he's the one that kind of broke out.
Not the only one. Like, Brittany Snow was a Pitch Perfect, but.
Brittany Snow probably has, like, the second most successful career of anyone.
Like,
he has
the highest net worth of anyone, I would like to think.
Yeah, and, like, I think he's the most talked about of any of these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they try to convince us that he's kind of, like, a dorky, ugly dude, and I'm like, no, he just seems like kind of a normal guy that's
He's just actually normal. Very chiseled. Like, sorry that he doesn't dunk. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I feel like girls would be all over him.
Yeah. You can be a hipster guy and still get
especially
it.
On the West Coast. If this is taking place in Portland.
If this was in Portland.
Like, he would have been the one that everyone was obsessed with.
Absolutely.
Like, John Tucker would have been the try-hard weirdo.
He would have had chlamydia by 18. Like, he would have. I know how they do in Portland. Like, no, I just think, yeah, he's hot. My theory was this all happens to him. And then he moves to New York and starts and becomes the guy from You.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
He becomes like resentful of women.
He becomes an incel.
Yeah. He becomes an incel after this and he becomes a stalker because he was helping his brother John stalk. He was giving insider information to John. Yeah. I have to say, we'll see that.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that could have happened. Uh-huh. We get John from Desperate Housewives. And he has a brother, Tommy, and then Tommy goes to New York after, and all the shows, and then Space Jam comes in.
And then somewhere in there, they all played basketball at the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, so we meet Penn. He's, like, singing so loud, dying for attention. He's singing Cheap Trick, like it's cool. But there's your moment, him and her vibe.
Yeah, the dialogue's god-awful in this scene, and also, like, everybody knows the song that they sing, so they could have picked, like, later in the movie, they reference Elvis Costello, and I'm like, that would have been a better...
That is, like, something I would have known. Yeah.
So it was kind of weird, but they vibe, and it's cute, and my heart fluttered.
She calls him a jerk. She calls John Tucker a jerk, because she sees him, and she's like, ugh. And he's like, oh, that's my brother.
And she's like, oop.
And she's like, jerk isn't really my type. And then... before detention, we get a cut of Ashanti in a headscarf.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we called out there's some styles that are coming back.
Yeah. We also kind of called out that, and this is something that comes up a lot now, but she wears like weaves and wigs throughout the movie. It's very clear that they had white people doing her hair because...
Absolutely.
We're convinced that they kept putting headscarves on her simply to kind of cover up like...
Yeah, this isn't the first... This isn't the last one we see. Yeah. But... Yeah, she goes over in her acrylic nails, too. I was like, damn, she had some money back then.
All these people had hella money.
So she goes and calls out John on what happened in gym. She's like, this chick said that she was your girlfriend. And he's like, I don't have a girlfriend. And if I did, it would be you. And then she goes to detention. And Ashanti is, like, just trying to front. She's like, he says that he feels bad for you, you guys, for, like, thinking that you're dating him. And then it turns out that he gave all of them the same speech.
And they all memorized it word for word.
Yeah, because they were that obsessed with him.
Yeah.
So they all get upset. And Kate's, like, they're all yelling at each other again. And Kate's, like, shut up.
Yeah.
And they're, like, who are you? That's where the movie ends.
Yeah, that's it.
No, they're like, who are you? And she can't get her name out, but they show up at her house later after that. And they're like, we need help taking him down. And her mom's like about to go on a date. I don't know. No, that's not where she's going on a date. I just said Jenny McCarthy has good boobs.
Yeah.
She's wearing a half sweater. And she is going on a date. And she's like, you have a friend downstairs.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's Carrie.
Yeah, and then all the ladies somehow show up, not knowing her name nor her address, show up at her house.
Dedication. Portland's small enough, I guess. Just go out to the house. Yeah. But, yeah, and they're like, we all want to kill John Tucker. And this is where it becomes a revenge film.
So, yeah, and then it's weird that they have them show up at her house because they do not spend any time there. The next time we see them, they're at school.
That's cool.
And they're in, like, the computer lab, some learning center. I don't fucking know. And they, like, Carrie puts up, like, a slideshow.
With two slides. Two slides on it. There's, like, an intro slide and then just a picture of John.
With, like, crazy graphics.
Yeah.
Like, where did she have time?
It was high tech. Yeah. In 2006, though, I was like, damn, this is crazy.
That was a lot of work.
There's like a Photoshop picture of John.
Yeah.
Then they write undateable on top of him because that's what they decide they're going to do. They just said, we're going to make him undateable.
Yeah.
We don't know how, but we're going to do it. And then she presses a button and it like pixelates. It like explodes John's picture. Yeah. So
very like advanced animation for someone.
Yeah.
In school,
and I work with a lot of tech and I'm like, I don't know. That takes some time.
Yeah.
So good for
her. That
was
the most expensive special effect in the movie.
Yeah. So they're going to make him undateable. And they do this. We get a hard cut to Sophia Bush with John in the woods making him take pictures.
Yeah, with like a photographer. So her mom must be some sort of model.
I don't know.
Because she has money. And so they have John just, like, shirtless in the woods.
Yeah, they make him do, like, silly poses. Yeah. And we noted this is probably considered child pornography because he's supposed to be 16. Yeah. So he's doing all these weird things. And then he takes a girl to the movies later and, those pictures are used in a herpes ad.
Mm-hmm. And they put it, like, at a theater.
Yeah. And they keep saying, like, herpes, and it's, like, mouth herpes, which I have to point out most people have that type of herpes simplex. Yeah. They should be doing an ad for real herpes.
Oh, yeah.
But his date leaves, and she's like, oh, my God, and all the girls are laughing. But he goes with this, and he becomes, like, a sponsor or, like, a spokesperson for herpes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, even though I don't suffer, I still feel passionately about this. And then there's, like, a random feature of a deaf person, like, signing about it.
Yeah.
Before we started this, I was like, this movie is really diverse. For 2006, yeah, is what I added.
Absolutely, for 2006 standards. No. And, like, the deaf joke is weird as fuck. They're like, are we clapping for him because he has herpes? And they're like, no, we're clapping for him because he has a clap,
which is not true either. So
all that was wild. I was like, what just happened?
So, yeah, there's, like, a deaf inclusive. So we have some inclusion. It didn't feel forced, but that happens. And then they're like, fuck, like, he's like, too good. Mm-hmm. And then they have another plan. They're at the house planning, and Kate's hot mom comes by.
Yeah.
And all the girls are like, whoa, you're so hot. Your mom's so hot. Yeah. And Kate's like, I know, thanks.
Yeah, she's like, thanks for that.
Thank you. That's my mom. Yeah. So Ashanti is sitting there taking estrogen, and I was like, that's weird. I guess you can take estrogen supplements. I know that it's in birth control.
Yeah, but just taking it like that I don't think it's healthy
or good,
especially not when you're like 17 16.
Yeah, so she's like, I just want to go up a cup size, and everybody's like, yeah. Everybody collectively besides Ashanti is like, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then they are like, wait, let's make him like less manly, and so they put estrogen in his protein powder. Mm-hmm. Which that's pretty fucked up.
Mainly because, like, I don't know, could that actually cause, like, serious health problems?
Yeah.
On accident? Like, could they hurt someone doing that?
I'm sure that it could.
Yeah. Like, so that was kind of a really, like, pretty intense prank.
Like, he starts transitioning or something.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do. Like, I don't know what they thought.
I don't know what they thought they were going to do. But it turns out, well, that's one thing I noted. I was like, so the side effects, like, what are the side effects on men from that? Because he just starts acting like he has PMS.
Yeah, he just acts like he's on his period.
Okay, it was a little bit offensive because I'm like, I don't think estrogen actually does this to you. And their caricature was, like, so slanted. But then I was, like, watching it more and I was like, actually, this is how I am on my period. I'm like, this isn't even offensive.
Oh, my God.
Because at one point he's like... We noted that he committed to the role.
Oh, God. I actually thought his performance in this was very fun. I thought, okay, after watching this, I'm kind of bummed Jesse Metcalf's career isn't better.
Me too.
I don't think he's, like, movie star caliber, but I do think, like, this kind of stuff, like, he's
like, he could do comedy. Like, yeah. I legitimately laughed when he was, funny. Like, I specifically said after the point when, because basically at first he's like, my tits hurt. They're sensitive. And then he's like, the guy's being mean. And then he eats a chocolate bar. And then he's like mad at his teammates. He's like, it's always me. It's never you or something. He's
John.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then he gets to his outburst where he falls and everybody's like, are you okay? And he's like, he's like, no, I'm bloated and I'm sensitive and I'm gassy. And he's like, and everybody here depends on me. It's always John.
Yeah. And it was actually very, like, great monologue. I loved it.
It was funny. Yeah. I legitimately laughed at that. Yeah. And then I was like, man, that's actually how I feel on my period.
Hey, they, like, the stereotypes sometimes exist for a reason.
Yeah. And so then everybody's like, OMG, like, I can't believe that happened. And the girls are like, yes, we won. And all the guys at school the next day, like, ignore him.
Yeah, they treat him like absolute
dirt.
They
treat him like shit. And then all the girls, this is where we get the old broad. She comes up to him and she's like, by the way, I thought it was so cool, like, how open you were with your emotions. And then she, like, hands him her number and she's like, I work a mental health line and I'm up late. And then
I low-key was like, is she the school counselor?
she was looking old. She was looking busted.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, two other girls, one with a really bad haircut and another one who just was like, whatever. They all talk him up and they're like, hey, we want to fuck basically because you're so emotional. And then he breaks up with all the ladies. And that brings us to act two. Mm-hmm. But before that, I have to note that John's brother asked Kate to be his lab partner.
Yeah.
At a certain point in time. And then she touches his hand and he gets a boner and freaks out.
Yeah, he does get a boner and freak out. That definitely was what that implied.
He was like, whoa.
Yeah. He's like, I can't hide it. Like, please don't touch me.
He spills water on his dick.
Yeah, he spills salt water on his dick. Starts freaking out that it's burning. They have a moment.
He's like, it's burning. Oh, wait, no, I just have a boner.
And then she's like, I don't, I thought while that moment is like way over the top, that one is way cuter than like the first, like way better written, I guess, than like their first moment.
It was more natural. It was cute. Yeah. So now everybody's been broken up with and the girls come to Kate and they're all pissed. Mm-hmm. And they have a little like party together though. And they eat some junk food and it's actually pretty cute. I'm like, who needs that guy anyway? Yeah. All he does is dunk. Then they are thinking about like what they should have done. They're like, we should have just broken his heart. Yeah. And then they're like, bing, light goes off. Mm-hmm. And they all look at Kate and they're like, we still could.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? No, not me.
Yeah. Even though she's like very fit, blonde, very cute. Like the fact that they try to even, they could have made her maybe a little bit more dowdy, I guess, like in the first half. Cause I'm like, she looks cute. Like, okay.
I'd say that she's like her and Sophia Bush. Like, okay, everybody's beautiful there. They're all hot. Mm-hmm. But like for me, I find her and Sophia Bush the most attractive.
Me too.
And like traditionally hot.
Yeah.
I guess. So
yeah.
They're acting like she's not that cute, but
she's like on their level easily.
Yeah. They're like whatever. They're always acting like she sucks.
Yeah. They're like really they're fucking mean to her in this movie sometimes. I'm like, okay.
Their first part of this plan to make Kate her like John's dream girl is to make her into a cheerleader, and they do that. They put her on the top of the pyramid and she kills one and they ignore it, and Ashanti's like, here, let me give you a lesson about attitude. And then John's like, who's that chick? Because I don't know, he just like sees Kate in a cheerleading outfit and is like, who is she? She's hot.
Yeah.
And Ashanti like brushes him off, and then they go and meet up with the chicks in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. They like John like immediately thinks she's hot.
Yeah, because she changed into that outfit
and straightened her hair.
Yeah, straightened her hair.
Washed the mousse.
Why do you think I straightened my hair so much? Why?
Because she straightened her hair once in a man.
Honestly, yeah. I'm like, how did John Tucker affect your life? I'm like, I straightened my hair for 10 years after. I did. I straightened my hair for most of my life. So next thing we know, they're in the bathroom recapping, because when Ashanti tells Kate that her, like, John thought that she was cute, she's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, really? Like, OMG. And they go to the bathroom, and then she's like, I don't think Kate's ready. And then they
Kate
find,
has, like, no experience with men.
Yeah, they find out. That's okay, the big reveal. No. No. I'm like, go ahead. But, yeah, big reveal. She's, like, never dated a dude.
It doesn't know how to talk to them. Can't handle attention from a man.
Yeah.
She's acting the way, like, Penn Badgley's character acted when she, like, touched his hand for a second. She's, like, getting a boner, basically.
So they're like, you got to keep cool. And they're like, count to three in your head every time he talks, which she does the next time. And John comes over and he's like, what's up? He just approaches her raw in the hall.
Raw.
He approaches her raw and it's like.
He just comes in raw in the hallway, man.
He goes, hey, what's up? She doesn't even know him. Yeah. Like, no, I would never.
Yeah. I'd be like, who the fuck? Like, what? But I guess it's John Tucker, Julia. Okay?
I know. He dunks. So
he dunks.
So he's like, hey, what's up? And she counts to three, but he can't wait long enough because just he's a man. Like, yeah. He can't wait.
Can't handle it.
And so he's like, you new here? Doesn't answer again. He's like, I mean, not new, but new to cheer. He's getting all flustered. She doesn't answer again. He's like, never mind. Can I just like take you out? And then she's like, I'm busy. And he's like, with what? She just says, busy. And then back in chemistry, John's brother also asked her out, so this was a good week on her in her life. And before he can like get to like a confirmation, a bunch of guys show up with flowers.
Yeah.
And they're like, then John announces his phone number over the intercom, which I don't know, that's risky.
That was super weird. And I'm like, wouldn't like all the girls in the school be blowing him up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Were girls like writing it down.
Yeah.
But not Kate. And then all of a sudden she's back with the girls and they're showing her a video of her being like, I'm busy. And like they just, that's when they reveal they're going to film all of this.
Yeah, which I guess at the end of the movie, we kind of see they're filming, but we never see them filming other than that time.
Maybe in the locker room, she films them, yeah. Like him being uncork and pork, which is also another tattoo. Yep. Uncork and pork. So, yeah, they are just, and then they all film themselves being like, John Tucker, you are not the one for me, or whatever they say.
Yeah.
That's not something I can say from memory, but. Oh, there's only one guy out there for me, and it is not you. So, yeah, then he hits her up again in the hallway, and he's like, did you like the flowers? And Kate's like, I guess.
I need this energy in my life.
Yeah. And he's like, because I didn't get a phone call, you asshole. And she's like, well, I didn't have a pen.
He's like, I'm spending all my dad's money on this.
Yeah, he's like, my dad spent a lot of money on those flowers for you. And then he goes to his brother. This is the only scene, I think, that we see them together. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're her lab partner, right? I need to know what she likes. And he says, she's deep, man. And he says, I'm deep. I'm dating the poetry club. That's pretty much that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He reveals that she likes Elvis Costello, I think, and some other shit.
He, like, unintentionally, I think, gives him advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because we are rooting for her and Penn Bagley at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
Next thing we know, he's at a basketball game. We're always at the basketball game. We're at the basketball game every other scene here.
Yeah, there's a lot of basketball in this movie.
They were like, how do we minimize production costs? We just keep rent this out for like a week.
Same restaurant over and over and over again. Yeah. Same basketball court scenes over and over and over again. So yeah.
It's okay. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's all good.
He like threatens to lose the basketball game because it's like a 3-point game or something. He's threatening to lose unless she goes out with him.
Yeah.
Holding her hostage.
Literally in front of the whole school.
Yeah. And then he does some more chest bumping because she's like, fine, I'll go out with you. He shoots the shot. They win. Dunk. We're done. And then they literally lift him up on shoulders and like take him around the gym. Like he's a god.
It's very... really leans into like the stereotypes of people in high school, I guess.
I would have never done that for anyone in high school.
No, hell no.
Yeah, I guess the jock rules all. And then they're getting Kate ready for her date, and they are like, they have the little like boob cam. Mm-hmm. That's where we find more amazing technology.
Yeah, that would have cost like $2,000 back then, like that whole setup.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, so expensive. Mm-hmm. I love seeing like 2000s technology, like what we thought was so cool.
And it was like pricier back then. Tech is expensive now, but you can get like a little camera for cheap.
I remember when I wanted an iPod mini mm-hmm. and it was like very expensive.
Yeah. Video iPod.
Like, shout out to my parents for ever getting me one. It was expensive. Same.
When I got my first iPod that could play like little movies, it was like the
tiny. Oh my God, you got the video or like the mini. Yeah, I know.
It was like the little Nano, but like the little square one.
I had a Nano after my Mini. I liked the Nano. Yeah.
Okay, so I had like the tall, skinny Nano mm-hmm. that didn't have video. And then I had like the little square one that did. And then I got the Touch. And then I got an iPhone finally.
Wow.
But that was over many years.
Dang, I know. We had to finance that shit.
Yeah, I had to bust my ass for the iPhone over summer, but yeah.
I know. So they're amazed at this technology. And I'm amazed, too. I was like, I wouldn't even be able to do that. So they start talking about two events that are going to be big. So we see the future. There's going to be an away game and a big birthday party. Then they do some lesbian role play.
Honestly, the hottest part of the movie.
Honestly, yeah. I should ask my boyfriend about that. I'm like, do you remember when they kissed?
I feel like that was a big selling point for men.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they all think Sophia Bush is the hottest one.
Maybe, because she... Yes! Now this is all adding up.
I think we're catching a bunch of men in a bit of a situation here.
Yeah, they practice things for her to say as she gets ready for the date, mm-hmm. and they do lesbian role play.
Yeah.
And then out on their date, they're at the beach. It's really horrible dialogue, but... there's particularly horrible line.
Yeah, so there's so he's like trying so hard to get her to like communicate, like to like talk to him, open up at all, and she's playing every fucking game she can, like waiting to respond, saying that she's a mystery.
It's so boring.
So she does all that. John, I'm gonna tell the line. So he at one point gives up trying to talk to her, and he straight up says talking is overrated. And he gets in front of her and faces her, but is looking, like, behind her. And he's like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And she's like, John, what? The sun's behind you. The sunset. And he's like, no, I'm enjoying this view of all these people jealous of me because I'm here with you. Yeah, that was the line, guys.
Yeah,
that was his line.
We looked at Jordan's roommate and we're like, are you looking for some lines? Like,
yeah, we
got on the dating scene. I think you could use that.
So he thought it was a good line. I want him to use it and I want to see what happens.
I mean, I'd be like, that guy's a clown.
That was like such a big, like such a obvious line. You know what I mean? It was like too obvious.
Yeah.
Play it cooler, bro. Play it cooler.
He was trying so hard.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever stop. So basically they're at this bonfire forever. They make s'mores. He's like, can I give you a ride home? And she's like, yeah. And then she gets nervous because she's like, he wants to take me home. I don't know what to do. And she like calls the girls on her little video. And then Sophia Bush shows up and is like, I'm okay. We're going to, they do a powwow for a second. And she's like, okay, so he's going to try and kiss you. Mm-hmm. And like, are you a good kisser? And she's like, I mean, she drops some knowledge. She's like, I mean, I don't know. How does anybody know? She's like, do people tell you? And she's like, oh my God, I'm a bad kisser. And that also stuck with me for a very long time in my life.
Yeah.
I actually do remember that and always thinking, I'm like, am I a bad kisser?
Yeah, no, not every guy I've kissed has been like, you're a great kisser. And that really fucks with me because of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's a good, I think it's a nice compliment, but
it's a great compliment.
Yeah, it's a great compliment.
Yeah.
But Sophia Bush gets in the car and she's like, okay, well, we're going to practice. And then we have a lesbian kiss.
Now, the sexual tension between these two women is so much more palpable on screen than any sexual tension between any other characters in the movie. I was almost like, can we just turn this into like a weird, like they fall for each other throughout this?
There has to be a porn out there. There has to be a John Tucker porn on Pornhub, I'm sure.
There's so many like different avenues you could go with that too.
But, absolutely. But, any of the characters.
But like, yeah, they could have made this like a lesbian romance. And that scene, I would have bought it. They got chemistry. Hey, Hollywood, hire Sophia Bush and Brittany Snow to be like lesbian.
It was
a lesbian
like
couple.
Maybe the hottest kiss of the movie.
Yes, and it absolutely was.
It's quickly followed up by a kiss between John and Brittany Snow. So
yeah,
that's a rough review right there. Sophia Bush and Brittany Snow had a better kiss.
Yeah, way more chemistry.
But Sophia Bush ends up stuck in the car. They drive back in his little Land Rover. And, like, Sophia Bush is just trying not to get caught. And Brittany Snow distracts John. Well, first they kiss and it's a bad kiss. They hit heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sprinklers turn on and he runs up to her porch and they kiss again. And there's, like, actual sparks because the technological equipment fucks up.
I joked, like, what if it just killed her in the moment? Because she's, like, straight up having, like, electrical shortages stinging her. Like,
yeah, she's, like, she was like seizing, so that was fucking hilarious. Yeah, what if she just dies? So then her mom comes downstairs. She's like, how's the date? This is like the second scene with her mom.
We get like a real moment kind of between them, but it, and I wish we had more of these, because like her mom, why even bring the mom character into the movie at all if we're only gonna have her there for like 1 second?
I don't know. And she doesn't really drop that much knowledge. And at the end, I'll tell you guys. I mean, not even at the end. She's just like nonchalant about everything she ever says to Brittany Snow.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, pretending like a guy's a bad idea. You could get hurt. And Brittany's like, no, he will. And she's like, then she's an asshole to her mom. She's like, I come to you for advice for a lot of things, but not dating because you suck. And like, I don't know. Her mom was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Her mom was
didn't
like,
take it very hard.
Took her Xanax that day. She was like, oh, all right.
She kind of makes a comment being like, this isn't you. Like, who are you? And she's like, I don't even know who I am. And they have this little angsty.
Yeah, she's like, no one liked me before. And she's like, be careful who you pretend to be. You might end up like that one day.
You might lose who you are. Yeah,
something
some
like
weird,
that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right. Like, thanks for that, lady. And then the girls are playing video games together.
Like, eating junk food, playing video games.
I know.
Lots of Diet Coke drinking in this movie.
There was so much Diet Coke. I was like,
you know, it's kind of weird. There's not really any drinking in this movie.
They do have the champagne, quote-unquote champagne, on the boat.
Yeah,
they
but
reference,
there's no, like, beer kegs or, like, American Pie style. It's kind of interesting that they show them drinking Diet Coke a bunch. But, like, there's no real alcohol scene.
I guess because they're underage, technically.
But I feel like every high school movie has, like, some sort of alcohol scene.
Was it rated PG? PG-13? I don't know.
It's got to be PG-13 because of all the thongs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of thongs. We haven't even gotten there yet. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, they're playing video games. I guess John keeps calling her and is, like, driving by her house. And she finally answers. She's like, we're going to call the cops. And he's like, oh, fuck. And then just, like, drives away.
Yeah.
It's kind of pointless. But he's just obsessed with her. We get it.
Yeah.
Then they go on a real date. This is the boat date I referenced before.
The famous boat scene.
They like walk into the restaurant, then they make a sharp turn. He's like, we're not going there. And they're on a yacht. And the other girls are like desperately trying to find her. Like, because they're losing connection with the camera.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then they get stuck on, the other girls get stuck on the boat, but Brittany Snow is having the time of her life on the date with John. She says, I mean, I've never been on a date like this before, but it's like, or I think she said, I've never been on a date, but this was the most perfect date I could imagine.
Yeah.
I've never said that.
No.
I've had a lot of good guys and good dates, but never been like, this is better than anything I could ever have fucking imagined.
Especially like with someone like John Tucker, you're really trying to give him more of an ego boost. Like, what are you doing?
It was a good date. Okay, I wouldn't even say, I wouldn't even say that date that she went on is better than anything I could have imagined.
What do you mean?
Like a date on a yacht with some it's nice.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've never been to
anything
on
you've
a
ever
yacht.
Imagined.
I know.
Like,
imagine.
You have a shitty imagination.
I'm like, call me when he flies you to Paris.
That's
for
what
a
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't a fly you to Paris.
Yeah.
Like, that's better than anything I could imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we're a little bit more inventive. Like, sorry.
I guess we have higher standards.
I didn't mean to shit on her, but I was just like, I don't know. Yeah. He took you on the boat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she had a 1960s, like, beehive hairdo.
Like a halter dress.
Yeah.
Polka dot halter dress.
It was clearly her first date.
Yeah, she looked like a 40-year-old woman going out on her first date post-divorce.
Post-divorce. Yes, it was that. That was her look. It was like that. And basically, John Tucker does get vulnerable. He says, I got to put my whole heart into things that I do. And she's like, sounds like it's an easy way to get it broken. And he's like, I have a cure for that or a way to protect it. And he's like, kick-ass dance moves. And they dance, which is corny, but it happens. But they play a good song that I remember saving from this, from that scene, Rogue Wave. It's by a band called Rogue Wave.
Okay.
It's called I Like What You Say.
Aww.
I think that's what it's called. But really liked the song there growing up. Then the away game comes up. And the girls are grilling her and they're little like,
they think she's falling for him.
Yeah, they're like, you're falling for him and that's so unfair. And she's like, no, I'm not. Carrie, the news reporter, says, I'm gonna show you that he's not really into you.
So she's so mean. They're so mean to Kate. I feel like they kind of like fuck up her life.
They like, literally are like, how could this ugly girl get him? And she's like really hot. So she goes into the locker room and hides in a locker, and the guys come in and they're all like making fart noises, and then they're actually farting, and then they're just being gross boys.
Yeah.
This is where we get the phrase uncork and pork. They compare her to an 82 Bordeaux, which none of them have drank.
Which went really over my head when I was young.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This was made for adults.
Yeah.
Then, because basically John's like, I think I'm just going to hang out with Kate tonight. And they're like, you're not going to wingman us? And he's like, look, I'm not whipped. And he gets up on a bench and like makes a whole speech.
Monologue's really hard here.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not whipped. I'm going to be scoring more than baskets tonight. And then they all sing Uncork and Pork It. And they all slap their butts and dance around.
It's disturbing.
I'm like, is that what the locker room's like? Is that? So it's disturbing. And then in chemistry, Kate tries to tell a joke to Tommy. And he's like, I don't like you anymore now that you're dating my brother.
Yeah,
I got
obviously.
Got a new lab partner. Bye. So.
And for some reason, she's like kind of caught off guard. I'm like, what did you. Did you think you could just keep flirting with him while you were doing this weird plan?
I know.
That wasn't going to work out for you, sis.
Ugh, so sad. So her heart's broken. Then she goes to the away game, but not before verbally assaulting her mom and telling her how shitty hurt she is. She goes home before her away game and her mom is getting ready for her date. And she's like, I've never seen a functional relationship before. No wonder I'm so messed up. And her mom is like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go on this date now.
Yeah. Bye. Deuces.
What else did her mom say? Her mom was like, I don't remember.
She was so whatever she did say was nothing of note.
Nothing to know. Yeah. Her mom was just like, cool. Then they're at the away game and everybody's there. The other girls show up too. And then she changes into lingerie and she looks pretty hot. And all the girls are like, you're so hot. And this could be another sexual fantasy here of all of them in the hotel room. She ends up video chatting with John and she's like, are you alone? You should come over. And he's like, I'm down. And she's like, it's going to be hard because the coach is in the hall. You have to scale the building and come through the outside door of this Best Western.
Red flag, sir.
Yeah. And he's like, I could be down for that, maybe. And he's kind of like iffy about it. And she's like, well, I am tired. And then he's like, okay, I'll do it. And so then she's like, okay, but before you do, you have to wear this present I got you. And it's a thong.
Like a woman's thong.
It's a red thong. Yeah, it's a woman's thong. There's like a bead on it and everything. Like,
it was just so interesting. I was like, what a weird route for this movie to go.
They make male thongs. Like, yeah. It's not like, yeah.
I don't know. It was just an interesting direction for this to take.
So he does it. He puts on the thong and he puts on a towel.
To scale the balcony, I'm like, wear your basketball shorts.
Where I was thinking that too. Jordan and I both were like, why didn't he just wear his sweats or something over it?
Yeah, and a shirt.
So he is a fucking weird. Okay, on top of everything, he's a fucking freak.
Yeah. He likes it. He's freaky. He's like, ooh, I'm down.
He scales the building and he goes in, and then it's the wrong room. It's the coach's, the bastard, it's whatever, the cheerleading coach's room. And then we get a monologue from the actual basketball coach that doesn't make any sense, because he gets pulled out into the hallway and the basketball coach yells at him for being in a thong, and he's like, this type of weirdness so close to playoffs, like, I can't handle it. It takes more than one person to build a freeway. And I
was like, it was so strange. I really thought they were gonna have a good, it was going somewhere, and then it didn't at all.
I was like, did this guy have a stroke? Like,
whoever was writing the movie did.
He didn't make any sense. So John Tucker is there. Everybody takes pictures of him. And then everybody's like making fun of him at school. But he rolls with this yet again.
And this is where Julia and I had to really start questioning our feelings about John Tucker.
Yeah.
Because he rolled with every punch they threw at him. And that's a kind of confidence that I strive to have in my life. Like, if I were John Tucker, I probably would have never gone back to school after like the herpes thing even. Maybe not the herpes thing, but like the estrogen meltdown.
The herpes, all of it. I would have been so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I remember being way embarrassed for less than that.
I mean, John might be the OG, like, big dick energy vibe.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, okay.
Move over, Pete Davidson.
Yeah, he just says whatever and does it. And I'm just like, okay. Because so maybe that's why guys like this movie too, because he doesn't really get shamed by any of the shit they try to do. He just keeps getting laid. Repeatedly.
I mean, everybody cheers him on for being laid, and we'll see that in the final scene. That's going to come up with a vengeance here.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically he rolls into school and he rolls into the basketball gym and he takes off his, he says shirts versus skins, everybody, let's do it. Because I guess he runs practice.
Yeah.
And he takes off his shirt and you can like see his thong coming out. And
he's got a whale tail.
Everybody's like, I forgot that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, dude, you're still wearing thongs. And he's like, it's easy, it's breezy, I can move. Yeah,
it's like, to be fair, I've actually kind of wondered that with the way basketball shorts are, they're super loose. I'm like, I feel like that actually kind of would, like, if you're not wearing the right underwear, like, everything's swinging all over the place.
I've thought about that a lot in my life, how hard it must be to have a dick.
I'm glad I don't have one.
I don't know how they manage, like, it's something just there all the time.
It's literally a horny antenna. That's a good band name, Horny Antenna.
Horny Antenna. It's super weird. So I think a thong would be good for a guy. And everybody else gets behind it because John Tucker did it. It is the mean girls, like, cargo shorts and camo pants.
And, like, the
boob thing. Yeah. So.
But he.
Okay, he does the craziest flip.
I can't even say it.
He does the craziest flip I've ever seen. He fucking like does a fucking double tuck, like, and dunks. Like,
I'm like, they couldn't, that was so obvious that he jumped, someone jumped off a trampoline. Like, it was so obvious. No one jumps just like straight up into
it. It was a stunt. It was like a Cirque du Soleil stunt. Crazy.
What the fuck?
So everybody, and then they all like take turns dunking with each other.
Yeah,
like,
and they all start wearing thongs.
It's actually despicable. It's, it's like so gross. And the next thing we know, Kate is really pissed at John for some reason. She's giving him the cold shoulder. And I guess it's over the locker room talk. And he's basically like, I'm sorry, I act like a pig, like, so I don't look whipped. And I'm saying these things I don't mean. And like, I'm doing things I don't understand. I'm out of place. I've been trying so hard to get you. But you're the one, Kate. And he gives her her watch. It's like, will you be my girlfriend? And I guess she says yes. Because all the other girls are yelling at her.
What was she supposed to do? Was that the moment that they wanted her to end it? They didn't really plan for this.
They were like, now you can really crush him. And she's like, I'm not feeling good about this. And all the girls are like, what? You can't have him. That watch should be mine. They all argue.
They fight over him for like 1 second.
Yeah.
And then immediately get mad at her again.
Yeah. And then Kate says it. She's like, you're either obsessed with breaking his heart or you're just obsessed with like being with him.
Yeah.
And no matter what you're doing, like, it's all about him. And so like, I'm really done with this. Count me out. Mm-hmm. And all the girls are like, whatever. And then Tommy randomly notices all the girls walking out. He's like listening to music with his bro. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he sees Kate and he's like, whoa. And then he sees the other girls and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then
he puts it together real quick.
Yeah, he's smart. He's smarter than his brother. So he confronts Kate and Kate is like, what's up? I thought you hated me. And he's like, are you friends with those girls? Like, this doesn't happen. Those girls don't talk.
Yeah. And he just, like, immediately calls it out and calls her out hardcore.
Yeah.
And he basically says, like, this isn't, like, this is just a joke to you. But he's like, girls know who John Tucker is and they date him anyway. Like, basically he says, like, stooping to his level doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I guess, the lesson of the movie.
Yeah, that's one of the lessons he took away.
One of them.
He lies to girls and gets them to fall for him, and I can't imagine the type of person who could do that. Could you?
Yeah.
Because he's like, I know you like me.
Mic drops.
Yeah, mic drops, walks away. He's like, I have music to listen to.
Gotta go listen to some Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Which, okay, name another Cheap Trick song. So, at home, her mom has broken up with her boyfriend because there's a cake with a shitty frosting on it. Her mom is like, I know my relationships have affected you, but I would never plan to hurt anyone. So, everybody's just telling her how awful she is for doing this. Kate is like, yeah, you're right. I got caught up. I was invisible for so long. It was nice to be noticed. She's like, you chose to be invisible. And I was like,
oh, yeah, we kind of, at first I was kind of like tricked by the movie and I was like, yeah, I guess she did. But then Julia brought up the point. It's like, well, her mom is just actively moving her around every 5 minutes. Like, of course she's not going to make any human connections.
I know. Like, I'm like, that has a negative effect on children. Yes. But I don't know. Her mom says that out of nowhere and she's like, none of this is me and I don't know who my friends are. And she doesn't have any friends besides these chicks. So they're not really her friends, but whatever. We see that they are in the next couple scenes because she drives her little Volkswagen over to the craziest birthday party of all time.
I don't know if this is a 17th or 18th birthday. I'm not sure what they're doing.
I'd have to think this is 18. There's no discernible reason it would be bigger than some concerts I've been to.
Yeah, because there's like a band. Like, okay, it's in a club, basically. It's in a venue.
In a dark club with smoke screens. There's an SUV on stage with all speakers.
Yeah, like Pimp My Ride or whatever.
There were probably like 500 people there.
Yeah, like, and everyone's got solo cups, drinking whatever.
There's strippers. Like, there's a stripper cake.
Yeah, there's a stripper cake. There's like a graffiti.
Graffiti artist.
Like a graffiti artist just spraying a ball.
Writing happy birthday Tuck.
Yeah, which no one called him Tuck at any point in the movie.
Nobody called him that.
Why not just put John? It's the same amount of letters.
It could be any John. It could be not Tucker.
No, it's like the set design in this part of them. This is where I'm almost like, okay, maybe these writers, not maybe, these writers are a little out of touch with like what teen culture is. That one review kind of got it right with that because I'm like, no, this doesn't happen.
Okay, yeah, that was unrealistic, but
it was like so just over the top.
Like I said, aspirational.
Yeah. I guess they're all rich. They make it pretty clear. He has a yacht, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, his parents have a yacht. He has a Land Rover.
We never see any appearance except for hers, which is
I love a movie like that.
But I'm just like, I'm dying to know because they don't go to like a private school, really. It looks like a regular high school.
It looks regular. It looks public. But
I don't know.
People are playing it fast and loose in Portland, I guess.
I guess.
So they're there. It's wild. The girls are ready to play this video that they made, their documentary about how John sucks. John is like hugging some strippers on stage and then Kate shows up and he's like, hey, and she comes up on, he calls her up on stage with her, which is my worst nightmare. Like, don't do that. And he's like, everybody, he's like pointing at her.
He's like, this is my girl. Yeah. Hi there. I'm
like, oh. Bad bitches only. he's like up there. And then, then they play the video and she unplugs it just in time before her little clip comes on that says, you're not the one.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's going on, babe? And she makes a speech to him that everybody in the crowd is like, what are you guys saying? Like, why is everybody even invested in this? But
because it's John Tucker, Julia.
She's making the speech and she's like, I'm sorry. I like lied to you.
She like tells basically says the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah. We were trying to break your heart. So you knew what it felt like. And he's like, well, you did. It worked. She's like, I'm sorry, but this is who I am. I'm Kate. And she like looks at the audience and they throw a drink on her because nobody cares about who you are.
Yeah, no one cares.
Then John gives a speech.
Well, no, then the girls go up to like
defend
her.
Oh, yeah, the girls go to defend her.
Yeah, and then they get drinks thrown on them.
They get drinks thrown too. So that's where we see a friendship moment mm-hmm. where they're like, it's okay. Everybody lies. They do yell at the crowd.
They try.
They're like, who cares? And then John gives a speech that says, he's like, they're right. I lie to get girls.
He's like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. And then all the dudes in the audience are like, no, you were just trying to get laid, bro. Like, they start like, oh my God, they defend it. They're like, fuck those bitches for lying, but you're awesome for lying.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck her for lying to fuck you, but you can lie to fuck girls. That's how it works. If that isn't like the male, like everything wrong with that's toxic masculinity at its finest.
Yeah, they were down with the lying for men to get laid. But
he's like, because you get with the hottest girls in the school. I'm like, whoa.
As soon as, yes, guys and their double standard sometimes, it happens. But then they have a big food fight.
Yeah, then she starts throwing cake at him.
Yeah.
Kate, and then it just, I guess that's it. That breaks the tension and everyone starts throwing drinks and cake.
If I were him, I would have been like, you can get the fuck out of my party. She's like, oh my God, the cake. Like, they all food fight. They have a good time. They looked like they are genuinely having fun.
I know. That was like, they were not in character for that. They just had fun.
That doesn't track, but I get it for the sake of this, the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
So then at school the next day, she goes up to John and is like, sorry, I threw the cake. And we were like, that's all, like, there's a bigger apology.
Yeah.
But she says, I'm going to start telling the truth. Oh, he says, I'm going to start telling the truth. I mean it. And she says, that's great. And then they say truce and they hug, but they butt heads again.
So they shake hands.
Yeah, it's awkward. And then Tommy likes Kate again, I guess. And he goes up to her and is like, hey, can you be my lab partner? She's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, me, because you're perfect. And she's like, oh, my God.
And then he's like, oh, perfect lab partner.
He's like, yeah, you're just really smart. And then the girls come up to her and they're all friends now. And that's the thing. And John Tucker never lied to another girl again. He just dated multiple people at a time.
He's just like in a polyamorous situation.
Yeah, he just, wait, okay, new lesson.
Yeah, John Tucker is actually very ahead of the game with his sexuality.
He's polyamorous, I guess. He was dating two chicks. We see him like be like, this is my girlfriend, this is my other girlfriend. And they were cool with it.
Well, they kind of gave a weird look, but they still walked off with him.
Yeah, they weren't like, ew.
Yeah.
Kate rounds it all out. She's the girl who made John fall in love. Well, she's a legend.
And then it's like bad slow motion on her face.
Legends never die. Yeah, she's like laughing. And then we get a weird scene at the end with like more thongs with like teachers.
Old, yeah, old fat teachers and thongs.
Yeah, she's like, and if you ever try this at home, be careful of the consequences.
The lesson here, guys, is if you lie to trick a dude, your teachers will walk around with thongs.
if you lie to trick a dude, he might just become more attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, lesson number one. Is that, yeah, you shouldn't lie to get laid.
No. And I think this is something important. You will find someone that will want to fuck you eventually. So it's like, you don't lie. Just wait, I guess. You don't need to, like, be a fucking weirdo about it. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, be yourself and someone out there will think you're cool.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
I don't even believe that sometimes myself.
Oh, like, there's been times where I don't.
When I'm having a bad day or bad year, but like,
or year.
I had a bad year or two where I was like, I don't know about this, but it's true.
Shouldn't trick people to be vulnerable with you,
yeah.
Whether it's physically or emotionally. So that I think is kind of a takeaway here.
Yes.
Yeah.
The biggest lesson. Oh, the second lesson was like roll with things.
Yeah. Just like.
John Tucker is an inspiration.
Be like, confident.
Yeah, be confident. Like, so what if all that stuff happened? Just roll with it.
Like, make it part of your brand.
Make it he made everything positive.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, no, it's a weirdly good lesson about, like, being yourself and not allowing people to tear you down. I was like, okay, cool. So there's, like, two very interesting things happening throughout this movie.
I'd say those are the two biggest lessons.
I also learned that it takes multiple people to build a freeway.
Yeah, it takes more than one man to build a freeway. What?
Still not sure why that was in this movie, or why that guy said it. I don't know. That was his Oscar moment.
I don't know. Yeah. The weird. Third thing I probably learned, another lesson. Don't obsess over a guy.
The guy's like cheating.
He broke your heart and cheated on you.
Yeah.
Don't go ruin his life. He's going to ruin his own.
Yeah. Or just like, okay, that person wasn't for you. Move on. Like, just, okay, let it go. Because it's like not going to do anything for him or to him for you to like dwell on. Yeah.
Number four. Oh, fourth lesson. Polyamory is cool.
Yeah, polyamory is all good. As long as you're honest with everybody.
If that's your thing, do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't change yourself for anybody.
Yeah.
So I'd say like, yeah, there were things that were super relatable about this movie. Mm-hmm. Growing up and, like, I mean, watching it now is just nostalgic. And yeah. It is a funny movie.
It is funny. And there are, of course, a lot of cringe moments, but that just makes it charming, I think.
Like, I'd say this movie made me legitimately laugh.
Yeah. And oh, my God. We were laughing so hard.
I watch other, like, sometimes I think about that when I'm watching a comedy show and I don't laugh at all. It happens to me sometimes, like, when things are supposed to be really funny and I'm, like, I'll go through a whole episode of, like, Friends and like not laugh once.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like, I almost feel like John Tucker Must Die is kind of campy because it's like so over the top, and like it's like a self-awareness that it's kind of goofy. So I don't know, I think all the actors were like really committed to these roles, so it just made it works because of that. This easily could have gone off the rails and been a complete mess, but like because the actors were so committed and like they all kind of actually had good chemistry.
Yeah, like, they did. It was a good ensemble cast, for sure.
And it's just, like, a fun concept, and I think it's mellow. Like, no one really gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like, no one really cries.
The stakes are low.
Stakes are very low. And, like, the whole scene at the end at his birthday party is very short. Like, they wrap this movie up quickly.
I'd say the pacing of this movie was incredible.
Yeah.
They fucking moved along. It's an hour and a half, exactly.
Yeah, and it, like, spends the right amount of time on everything. So, actually, now that we've kind of gone through the plot, like, it is a little complicated. Because, like, you have the initial set where, like, they're trying to get revenge, and then he dumps them, and then they make her be the revenge.
Yeah.
So there is kind of, like,
two parts,
yeah.
And then there's the third, like, storyline of, like, she has an interest in the brother. Then there's that weird fourth where it's, like, and her mom has fucked up relationships. Like, that's why she wants the revenge for herself, for her mother.
I guess, like, that's the weird thing. Like, they set that up as her motivation.
Yeah.
But, like, her mom blatantly halfway through the movie says, don't do this. Like, I don't like it. So it's like, okay, your whole reason is out the window. So it just felt not really needed. Yeah. We didn't need it at all. We didn't even need the mom in the movie whatsoever.
Yeah, if she had not had a mom that was really hot, like, it wouldn't have detracted that much.
No. Like, they really spent a lot of time at the beginning setting it up, too.
Yeah.
And, like, John Tucker's not even really like that, those, like, men that leave her mom. So
not at all.
There's no parallel there. I think that's what they're trying to set up, is that there's a parallel. But there isn't.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just, like, pointless and weird and, like, not... It felt very separate, like almost like a different movie.
Yeah, it was a little disjointed at times.
Yeah,
but
that's like my main criticism, really.
Those are our lessons that we learned. We could talk about the music, but I think the main thing about the music is just that it's really good.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great. Like we said, All American Rejects. I'm all for it. I joked that this came out the same year She's the Man, and I think they might have almost the same soundtrack,
because they, like, both end on what, Dirty Little Secret.
They both play Dirty Little Secret multiple times in the movie too.
Yeah,
so it's like, I guess that's the byline, because that is, they're both movies about like kind of tricking people, not being who you are.
There was a lot of trickery in the early 2000s.
a lot of mischief, and like, I don't know, I felt like, but the soundtrack also had a lot of covers, so like, I almost feel like maybe they couldn't get, like, the real artist to, like,
approve. There was, like, a Modest Mouse cover.
There's a Modest Mouse cover.
After Time cover.
This Will Be Our Year. Yeah. The Zombies is covered. Yeah. No. I mean,
there was, the Cheap Trick.
We don't even hear the Cheap Trick song. But, and then we hear, like, a cover of it.
Yeah, we hear a lot of covers, but even just mentioning Cheap Trick, and then they mention Elvis Costello, and he, like, puts it on the radio.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of, like, okay, Marie Antoinette was legitimately my favorite soundtrack of all time.
Period. But I still listen to that soundtrack.
That one's, like, more of a serious, this is, like, a, not that this wasn't serious. I didn't like all the covers, but I did like the original songs that were featured.
I mean, this did give me, like,
Marie Antoinette was my favorite soundtrack of a movie once I was like 16 and like had more of a musical knowledge. This was like my favorite soundtrack of being like 12 or 13.
Because I like had a handful of soundtracks as a kid. I don't know why I would like my mom liked them too. Because my mom used to listen all the time to the Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion soundtrack. So I had that one a lot. We had both all the American Pie soundtracks because I love the music in the American Pie movies for some reason. I mean, not for some reason. They're fucking amazing. They're very of that time. And then I actually had the She's the Man soundtrack. And then I kind of wish I'd had this one, but I love like these. It's basically just compilations of songs, like playlists.
This was a playlist before a playlist. Yeah. I'm dying. Oh my gosh.
So like, I don't know, like this kind of falls in that category of like iconic soundtracks. Like I think it's very of its time too. Another time capsule, though, just like the movie.
If I had enough friends, like, I would want, like, a John Tucker birthday party.
If I had enough friends? You have enough friends?
To have, like, five. No, I want, like, not, okay, well, I could do a John Tucker Must Die themed birthday party, but I want, like, a 500 person, like, SUV on the stage.
Oh, like, okay, yeah.
If I had enough friends, I would.
Yeah.
But no, I would probably do a themed John Tucker birthday party. If I have one this year,
I would 100% be down. And I'm dressing up as Sophia Bush. I'm going to do my hair like that too. With like the curling wand. That's how she totally did her hair.
Definitely.
Like with those weird, like almost like just slightly too curly. Let it be a little bit looser.
They weren't too crimped, but.
Definitely a lot of hairspray was involved to keep it like that.
They went through bottles.
Bottles and bottles.
But yeah, that's not John Tucker Must Die. That's what Jesse Metcalf was up to last season, aka John Roland, when he wasn't having babies with Gabby Zelize.
I felt like weirdly he almost looked younger in this, even though he was older in this.
Yeah,
he looked a little bit more age appropriate, but maybe it's just because all the other people around him.
I think they did a lot of makeup on him.
Yeah,
in this one, I felt like he had a big layer on.
Yeah.
I don't know. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back soon with season 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
But John Tucker Must Die, we highly recommend watching, even though it's got 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ignore Rotten Tomatoes. Enjoy it. It's a nostalgic joyride. It's super fun.
I mean, I think we both give it 5 apples.
Oh my god,
so
absolutely.
I don't think that's
apples.
Even a question. Yeah, like, no, I would no say question. We could do the count. I'm like, no, 5 apples.
No, and like, we had so much fun watching it. Like, oh my that's god. The thing. Like, if you do watch John Tucker Must Die, watch it with a friend or a group of friends because you'll have a blast. Everybody kind of dunking on stuff, but also like just genuinely.
Yeah,
laughing.
This is a movie you watch with people.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Desperate. We normally are reviewing Desperate Housewives, but we're just taking a break between seasons right now. And it's summertime. We've got lots of vacations coming up and things. So,
so we want to put some content
out. Some time off between. But you can follow us on Instagram.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
I said like us on Twitter.
Like us wherever. Like, follow, subscribe everywhere.
Even if you don't use like a certain streaming service, still follow us on it.
Yeah.
Get an account just to follow
we're
us.
Actually on more. Like, we always shout out like Spotify and Apple Music, but we're on like tons of other stuff too.
Yeah, you'll find us.
You'll find us, and or thank you for listening. And
I guess we could say our catchphrase.
I was going to say our catchphrase. I was trying to think of something from the film.
It takes a lot of men to build a freeway, guys.
It takes a lot of men to build a freeway.
And on that nonsensical ending.
Take that how you like it. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.